Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Now this morning, as we begin here with our gospel reading, we find that Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem. Now, it'll take him some time to get there because he knows what's going to happen once he arrives. He knows he's going to the cross. But in the meantime, what's he doing? Well, he's making sure that he has every opportunity to teach and preach to the people. And so as he's doing so, some people like what they hear and some don't. But guess who's coming to hear him? Those people who are despised by others. Namely, the tax collectors and sinners. They're coming up to Jesus. They're wanting to hear what he has to say. But the Jews, when they saw those kinds of people, well, they despised them. They didn't want them to be around. They didn't think that they were worthy to hear God's word. They were sinners. Why would you want to hang out with them? Why would you want to associate with them? But Jesus did. Jesus was very willing to hang out with those folks, because he knew something about them. Just like the people thought that they were despised and thought they were lost, they truly were lost. Lost in the sense that they had no faith. Well, Jesus knew what they needed to hear. But the ones who despised these lost ones, well, the Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled against Jesus. Now, what's interesting here, the word that Luke chooses to use here about that, about their being upset, is grumbled. It's the very same word that Moses used in the Old Testament when the children of Israel didn't like how God was treating them and leading them and feeding them. They too grumbled. So now the people who are hearing this from Luke and reading his gospel, those Jews who hear this, that connection's not going to be lost. So Jesus then tells them this parable. Now recall, the parable is a way about telling others about what the kingdom of God is like in terms that you and I can understand. So in this particular instance here, in this parable here, Jesus gives us a clue as to how God deals with his people. So Jesus began with a man who had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Now the younger son asking this, it's a gigantic deal. Why? Because what he's wanting here is to his father to divide the inheritance. And what he is saying in essence to his father here, "I wish you were dead." Now, you who are parents, what would you think if one of your kids came up to you and said, "I wish you were dead"? And they weren't saying it in anger, but they were just saying it as matter-of-factly, "I wish you were dead." Now, would you be upset? Would you be shocked? Probably both of those things. It's incredible that you're even hearing such a thing. But what would you do? Would you give in to your child's request? Now keep in mind here, when they're going to divide up the property there, divide up the inheritance, it's not he's got two sons and so you think, well, he's going to get 50% of it. Not so. Back in the day, in Jesus' day, the oldest son got what they called a double portion. So what would happen here is that they would divide that property up into three. So the older son would get two portions and the younger son would get the remaining third. So, that's what they do. So now the younger son there, he gets all of this here, and, well, he decides that it's time to take off. He wants to get out of there. Now, when you're thinking about this, he's wanting to leave. Now, the people who are hearing this parable here, how do you suppose they're feeling this? They're probably pretty disgusted what's going on here, certainly disgusted with this younger man. And then what does it say here? He says that he goes off to a far-off country. What's the significance of that? Well, what that means is that he's no longer under the constraints of his father's household. He's completely gone away. His dad has no influence in the country that he's going to, so it's like he can do whatever he wants, bring home anybody he wants, doesn't have to clean up his room and leave the socks on the floor. He can eat off paper plates so he doesn't have to clean them. Right? Just take those things, throw them away. That's how he wanted to live his life, with no supervision at all. Now, with no restraints here, what happens? Well, he starts blowing through his money pretty quickly here. All right, it's kind of like he went to Vegas and lived high on the hog. Well, maybe not that, but he probably wished he was. Because why? He was blowing through his money so fast that all of a sudden he found himself without none. And what was the only job he could get? Was feeding the hogs, feeding the pigs. It's interesting here. He finally realized that the pigs were eating better than he was. Now pause again for a moment. If you were the hearer of this parable, again, with whom is Jesus speaking? Jews. They would have been horrified at the circumstances that Jesus is describing here. They're probably thinking that younger son, well, he's getting what he deserves, right? Truly, this kid is lost. But again, the younger son finally comes to his senses and realizes that, hey, you know, wow. You know, my father's servants, they always had plenty of bread to eat, and yeah, I got nothing. Nobody's giving me anything. Nobody's helping me out. It'd be better if I just went back home and confessed to my father, you know, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. Could you bring me back in as one of your servants? So that's what he decides to do. Now, the question now becomes, how's the reaction going to be when he gets back home? Is his father going to take him back in? What about the people in the community? You know, the people in the community, if they saw this young man walking back home, they would run up to go see him. And not for a good reason for him. Because he so dishonored his father, the likelihood of the community there, everybody else there who's living around these folks, would have killed that young man because of that. But what does the father do? Everybody in the community is going to think, well, you know, the father's going to reject him. But the father, when he sees him a long ways off, he has compassion on him. He runs out there. And what does it say? He hikes up his robe, all right? Now, for us, you know, we realize, well, gosh, you don't want to trip into your robe, so yeah, you're going to pick it up. But this is you just didn't do that, all right? Older folks like that aren't going to hike up their robes so you can see their ankles and their knees. You just wouldn't do that, much less go run. That's for the younger folks to go do, right? But what does he do? He runs out there, goes to his son, embraces him, kisses him. What would the community have done if they saw him? Killed him. What's his father doing by embracing him? Protecting him. You don't really realize that that's what's going on. Sure, you see the father there, but he's showing compassion and love. And so while he's in the embrace there and his father's pouring all this love on him, the son says, it's like, hey, you know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Just take me back in as one of your servants. Does the father give in? Does the father give in to his son's desires? No, he does not. Rather, he takes him back in, and he gives directions to have a party. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Because my son who was lost is found. My son who is dead is alive. What a shocker. What a shocker. Now, meanwhile, the older son, he gets wind of all this, and he's coming back in from the fields there, and he's asking somebody, he's like, hey, what's going on in the house? You know, why are we having a party here? Well, somebody says, one of the servants there says, hey, you know, your brother's come back home. And your dad's brought him back into the family, and so he wants to celebrate. And he's like, he's killed the fatted calf. He's mad. He's angry. He won't even go into the house. Now, the father does something strange here, and you probably don't catch this too much. The father goes out to see his son, the older son, outside the house. If the older son truly honored his father, he would have been the one going into the house asking dad about this. But no, he wouldn't. He's showing a little bit about his character, too. Dad went back out there to entreat with him, right? So, I can, in other words, kind of make peace. What's going on? Why don't you want to do this? And so the older brother then, he really starts to go off. And he's like, oh, come on, really? You know, you brought this guy back in. Notice how he says, your son. You know, how many parents out there, you know, said, you talk to your spouse, your daughter, your son, right? You know, that kind of thing. So you don't want to distance yourself from him, right? And that's what he's doing. He's like, your son, not my brother, your son, right? He's treated you terribly. Squandered all your money. And he goes off, he's like, you know, probably had prostitutes and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, spending in wild living like that. This one who wished you were dead has come home. And what do? Throw a big bash for him. Wow. Really, Dad? Now, which one of the two do you identify most with? The older son? That disgusted brother there? Or perhaps the younger one? Well, who do you suppose these people are in the parable? The audience that Jesus is addressing there. Well, the older son certainly fits with what? The Pharisees and the scribes, right? And the younger son? Oh, yeah, that would be the lost ones out there, the tax collectors and sinners. What's the title of this particular passage usually called? The prodigal son. But I tell you, it's not the prodigal son that it should be called, but rather the prodigal father. Now, in English, prodigal has two meanings. The first one is this. Okay, extravagant, wasteful, reckless livings, that kind of thing. Wasting all the money, being in that sense. But the other definition, in English, means generous giving. Focus now on the father. Did he give in to either of his son's desires? Younger man comes home, wants to be a servant. Does the father do that? No, he brings him back into the family. He embraces him. The older son, he's complaining about how he never gave me a party, Dad. You know, wow, it's just like he probably wanted to do what his younger brother did, but didn't. He wanted to have his friends over. But what did the father do with his older son? He reminded him of something. He's like, you know, yeah, you've been here, and everything that I have is yours. All that I have of mine is yours. And you're thinking, no, Dad's still alive there. No, what did Dad do earlier? He already divided his inheritance. He gave the one-third to his son. The other two-thirds belonged to the older son. Truly, all that I have is yours is true. This parable is not about the prodigal son. It's about the prodigal father. Truly, it's about our Heavenly Father and how He treats us. You see, He wants us all to be a part of His heavenly family. Whether you've been the wild one and gone off in reckless living there, He wants you to repent and come back. To be a part of the family, so that you could enjoy forgiveness of sins and hope of everlasting life. How does the Heavenly Father treat the older son and folks who kind of lean that way? He reminds them, it's like, hey, You already have my blessings. You already have forgiveness of sins and hope of everlasting life. I gave that to you in a promise when you were baptized. You're a part of my family. You see, all that he has, he's given to us. He's given to us that through Jesus Christ. He's the one who died and earned the forgiveness of our sins. He did that strange thing. Like he brought the son back in. He reminded the older son, God does the extraordinary, the prodigal things, the generous things. Don't be like the older son and the Jews there who were grumbling, but rather give thanks. Give thanks to what God has already provided you, forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now as we confess our common faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed, found printed for you in your worship bulletins, as we turn to one another across the aisle and confess such faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.